Christ Jesus found me, touched my eyes and made me see. Broke sin's chains that long had bound me, gave me life and liberty. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love.
Oh, amazing truth to ponder, he whom angel hosts attend.
Lord of heaven, God's Son, what wonder, he became the sinner's friend. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. My song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. And praise him for his glorious love.
Thank you very much. Matthew 12 this evening, if you would. You don't need to stand yet. Sit down. Matthew 12. Sorry about that. I was a little late telling you that. Matthew, my bad, whatever that means. Matthew 12. While you're turning there, again, good to see everybody out this evening, and hope you feel welcome again if you're visiting with us this evening. I wrestled with this message all afternoon. I changed three times and ended back here again. And the reason why is I want to have a little church family message this evening and talk to you about something. I've wrestled with this all afternoon, whether to talk about it tonight. I always try my best. I'm a human. I know you find it hard to believe, but I am. I'm a human being. And I find, you know, and I'm like everyone, sometimes I wrestle with things. And I always try, and I tell our guys in the Institute do the same thing, I always try never to react to things from the pulpit. Reacting is when, as a preacher, you see things happening, and so you get up in the pulpit and have a fit about it. I just have my fits in my office, and I try not to do that from the pulpit, because nothing's ever accomplished that way, and that's not my intention tonight whatsoever. But let me give you a little bit of background. For the last several months, we've been having a few issues. How widespread it is, how bad it is, I'm not sure. But we've been having a few issues downstairs with some of our young people being not quite so kind to one another in their speech and different things. And it's been going on for several months now, and it's just continued on and continued on. And again, I don't think it's terribly widespread. I don't know how widespread it is, but it's been going on. And, you know, we're not liberal progressives here. You know, we're not trying to design a utopia, you know, where no one ever gets hurt or no one's ever offended or nothing ever happens to anybody, because that's impossible. We're all sinners. Say amen. And of course, that's what our founding fathers understood, which is why our government was founded the way that it is. And as I've said several times, you can't understand human behavior unless you understand the fact that we are sinners by our very nature. And so because of that, sometimes that comes out in us. Amen, in one form or another. And it's been taking the form, again, of kind of picking on each other. And some of it is stuff that kids do. And again, it's been going on for several months now. And it's stuff that kids do. And it's not just one child. If it was one child, we'd be in my office. We wouldn't be out here because we don't work that way. And it doesn't involve, you know, one child being picked on. It's sometimes, the child is the perpetrator and the victim. And so sometimes those things are happening. And again, part of it, I think, is that age group. We got a lot of kids in that age bracket that tend to do that anyway because of that age. And I'm not angry about it. My wife will tell you, if I ever get angry about it, you'll know, but I'm not angry about it. Believe everything they say about redheads. If I was really angry about it, you would know. And I'm not angry about it. I just, be honest with you, it kind of breaks my heart, to hear some of it that's taking place. And one reason it does, because our kids are so much better than that. They know so much more. They've learned so much more. I would put our kids up against any kids. And I also agree, me and Brother Burr were talking about it. I also agree that part of it is growing up. Part of it is learning to deal with other people and deal with stuff that happens to you. But that's no excuse for unkind speech toward each other. I wish it was one, but again, I think it's a little bit more widespread than that. And so because of that, because speech isn't harmless, speech is not a thing that doesn't affect people. Speech isn't harmless. Speech hurts people, offends people, or can encourage people. And that's what Paul talks about, out of the mouth, we can bring forth praise. And at the same time, we can encourage someone with the same mouth, hurt somebody's feelings, just the way it is. And I don't know exactly why it's happening and why it's taking place. Over the last few months, I don't know why. We're going to find out. We're going to kind of see if maybe it's something we're doing with our structure or something. We're going to work on that, see what's going on there, or if it's just kids. I don't know what the deal is, but I don't want to take a chance on it. And so as a result of that, we're just going to talk a little bit about speech tonight for that purpose, for that reason. I'm not reacting, so don't you react. All right. I'm not after you. I'm not after your kid. As I said, if it was your kid, we'd be in the office talking, not from the pulpit. So don't you react. Our children's program is not falling apart. All right. Our children around here are not horrible. Don't react that way. Sometimes we just got to deal with stuff. Amen. We're sinners. Things come up and we got to deal with stuff. And the best way to deal with it is just deal with it. And I don't want any of our kids, to ever be hurt, by the words of others and so forth. And of course, this is not just for them, it's for us as well. We sometimes can be hurtful in our speech and so forth as well. If it is happening, then it needs to stop. Say amen. I think we can all agree that needs to stop if it is happening. And to some degree, like I said, kids will be kids, but our kids are just too good for that. And so I just thought maybe we just deal with speech tonight and just kind of get some things out and say some things about speech that we can keep in mind, not just them, but all of us. As adults and children, amen, so we can kind of understand some things. So I'm going to attempt to, we're going to kind of preach on a little bit lower level so you adults will be able to understand it, amen. We're going to going to work on it, and it won't be that lower level, but we'll not, that sounded even worse, didn't it? Forgive my speech, that was foolishness. But at any rate, and again, I say this with all my heart. If I was upset or if it was your child, we'd be having this. So don't overreact to this thing. I'm not after you. It's not one child, all right? It's just something we've got going. I think it's a cycle we've kind of cycled through for some reason. I have no idea why it's happening, but we're going to deal with it. But we just need to say a few things. Amen? Get it said about what speech is like, and then we'll just go forward from here and deal with it as it comes up. And hopefully we won't have any issues after that. Amen? So if you found... what did I say? I already forgot. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. I told you I flipped back and forth 3 or 4 times on this thing, so it hasn't had long to cook. And so so there's no telling what's going to come out here. Hopefully we'll get through it. When I don't have too long to let them simmer for a while, sometimes they can get a little messy. So we'll see how it goes. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Matthew 12, verse 34. This sounds good already, doesn't it? Oh, generation of vipers. I'm not reacting at all. Oh, generation of vipers. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Obviously, that's the portion of the verse we want to focus on. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. For a good man, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. I want to speak on this thought tonight, getting to the heart of our speech. All right, let's go into the Lord in prayer. Brother Nelson, why don't you lead us in prayer, if you would. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Our speech, as Matthew talks about, or Jesus does in Matthew chapter 12, and I think most of us on a Sunday night realize, is the result of what is in our heart. What comes out of our mouth is what is already inside of us. And as he says here, you can't speak that which is good if there's evil in your heart. Just can't. You can't bring forth good fruit from an evil tree. There are several verses that talks about this. Jesus mentions in other places that you can't bring forth good water out of bitter springs. You can't do that. What's in us is what tends to come out of our mouth. That's why no matter what age you are, speech is very telling about who we are and what we are. And the time that speech is most telling is not when we're around each other in calm circumstances. It's when all of a sudden it's when we're crossed. It's when we find ourselves having to react to something suddenly. Those are the times that expose what's in us. And sometimes with young people, it's when they get together with other young people. What's, you know, there sometimes comes out as a result of that, because they're sinners just like we are, because they got it from us. Amen. So we're all sinners as a result of that. Sometimes there's not always good stuff in us. We say amen to that. There's not always good things, good thoughts. There's not always good words in us. And Matthew chapter 12, hang on to that if you will, and look over in the book of James, James chapter 3. And James 3 is probably one of the best known passages on speech, maybe second only to James or to Matthew chapter 12. In James chapter 3, James 3 again is a well-known verse. In James chapter 3 and verse 8, it says this, "But the tongue can no man tame." That's a pretty ominous statement. "But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." And the reason why that's the case is because that's what we are by our nature. We're sinners. We're not inherently good. We're inherently evil. Our children are not inherently little angels. They're sinners like we are. And we are sinners. Therefore, we're not little angels either. And so we are sinners by our nature. And as a result of that, James says, the tongue is an unruly thing. And I like how he words it. He says, it's something that no man can tame. I've got a picture in my office of this guy dressed up like a lion tamer, and he's got a chair in one hand, you know, the circus lion tamer suit with a big tall hat, and he's got a chair in one hand, a whip in the other, and he's got this giant tongue coming at him, and he's got this whip trying to tame the tongue, which comes out of James, where James says, you know, you cannot tame the tongue. And the reason we can't tame our tongue, come on, would you agree with me tonight? Probably the only thing harder than dieting is controlling our speech, which still involves the tongue, I guess. Amen. See how unruly it is? It's not my fault. It's my tongue. I told you before, I self-identify as a thin person. So can't blame me. And so our tongue is still involved. And I say this, we joke and we laugh because it's true. You know, dieting is one of the most difficult things to do for most people, you know, controlling the flesh. And James says controlling the tongue seems to be an impossible thing. But the reason why we can't tame the tongue is because it has no mind of its own. It's just a muscle. It's just an organ. That's all it is. You can't have a conversation with your tongue. You can't look in the mirror and say, "Listen, tongue, what you said today was unacceptable, and we're going to have none of that anymore." You can't do that because the tongue is just a muscle. It's just an organ. We know that. So it doesn't have a mind of its own. It's not like, can't blame me. It's just my tongue. I had nothing to do with it. It's this unruly organ, you know, that's within me. We know that's not true, that the tongue simply says what we tell it to say, and it does what we tell it to do. Now, what James means is this. When he says no man can tame it, what he's saying is, it's not that it's hopeless to give up on our speech, but what he means is that you can't tame your speech by focusing on your speech. You can't tame your speech by, you can't tame speech by just going, "I'm just not going to say that anymore." It doesn't work that way. Speech is not primarily a word issue. It's a heart issue. It's not a tongue issue, it's a heart issue. And we say what we do because of the heart that's within us. And when we have a right heart, then right things come out. When we're not right in some areas, sometimes evil things come out. But James says you can't tame your tongue, you can't control speech, you can't have right speech by just focusing on your words. That's the reason why you can set your children down and say, "You will not talk like that." And you might scare them to the point they don't talk like that, but you haven't changed anything till their heart has changed. And when it comes to us, it's the same. You can say, "Well, I'm not going to talk like that anymore. I'm not going to gossip anymore. I'm not going to talk bad about people anymore. I'm not going to say that about my boss anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore." And what happens? In no time, we're doing it again. And the reason why is because our heart in that area hasn't changed yet, because it's the heart that controls speech. Now, look over in Proverbs 15, if you will, Proverbs chapter 15. There's two verses in Proverbs that are also pretty well known that illustrate what James is talking about. In Proverbs 15, they're both in Proverbs 15, Proverbs 15 and verse 2. It says, the tongue of the wise, are you there? Proverbs 15, verse 2. It says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools, now notice the next three words, poureth out foolishness. I want you to notice the first two words, poureth out foolishness. And then go from there, if you will, down to verse 28, same chapter. It says this in verse 28, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. That's not difficult. In the Hebrew, that means engage your brain before you engage your mouth. Right? The wise man thinks before he responds. But then I want you to notice the end of verse 28 is the same way again. At the end of verse 28, it says, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. So James says the tongue is unruly. We can't control it. It's not the tongue, but it's what's within us. Then in Proverbs, two times, the book of Proverbs uses this phrase, poureth out. He says, we pour out words. Now, both of those verses, the mouth, he likens the mouth to the same thing. He likens it to the pitcher or to the mouth on a pitcher. And it just so happens, I have a pitcher. This is my handle. This is my spout. All right, so I have a pitcher. And when you talk about what Proverbs is talking about is this. He likens our words and our speech unto a pitcher. And in the mouth on the pitcher, he likens unto our mouth. And so he says when we speak or when your speech comes out of us, he says our tongue is really nothing more than like the mouth on a pitcher over which flows whatever's inside the pitcher. This is not deep, is it? You know, if I put iced tea in this and I tip it over, what's going to pour out through the mouth? Iced tea. Now, did the pitcher make iced tea? No. Did the spout make iced tea? No, there was iced tea in it. So when I tipped it over, what came out of its mouth? You're doing great, class. Iced tea came out. I should use audiovisual aids more often. Tips out. I told you we get down on your level so everybody can understand it. The word pour simply means to flow out. And so the mouth of the pitcher is simply the part over which that which is in it pours out. Now the point is that our tongues, like it says, just like that mouth on a pitcher, just exactly like it, over or out of the tongue flows that which is inside of it. James says you don't get sweet water or bitter water or sweet water from the opposite. You can't get sweet water out of a bitter spring. You know, if I fill this pitcher up with water and I tip it over, I'm not going to get Dr. Pepper. All right? I'm not going to get Diet Coke or Pepsi or whatever your thing is. I'm not going to get it out of there if that's what I do. Because what's in it is what's going to flow out. Now in Proverbs 15, verse 2, it says this. A wise servant, Proverbs 15, verse 2, got the wrong stuff flowing out there. Verse 2, it says, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. So, if this is the pitcher, and inside the pitcher is foolishness. See it? You can see it in there. When I tip it over, what's going to pour out? Foolishness. This is very deep. The Bible's hard to understand. When you tip it over, what comes out of the mouth of the pitcher is foolishness. Verse 28. He says, if there is inside the pitcher, inside my heart, what? Evil things. What's going to pour out? Good stuff? No, evil things. Now, did the mouth of the pitcher make it evil? Did the mouth of the pitcher make it foolish? No. It was already in it. The foolishness was already here, and the evil was already here. You with me so far? We'll revisit the pitcher in just a moment. He goes on and talks about the fact that foolishness is within the heart and evil is within the heart. And when it happens, it pours out. And I want you to notice this. What happens is a lot of this stuff's already in here. All it takes is for somebody to do what to us? Tip us over. And when somebody tips us just a little bit, and the right person tips us, or we're tipped at just the right time, that's when we find out what's in here by what is poured out. And so James tells us that the tongue is unruly because we're sinners. Then Proverbs likens our mouth to the mouth of a pitcher. And what happens is it's just whatever's in us that pours out. If you're arrogant, arrogance is going to pour out. If you're foolish, foolishness is going to. If you're unkind, unkindness is going to pour out. If you're mean, meanness is going to pour out. If you're proud, proudness, pride is going to pour out. Because that is what's within us. We are not only what we eat, we are what we say. With me so far? Because that, again, that's what comes out of us. Now, in James chapter 3, verse 10, James chapter 3, verse 10, it's the same thing James is saying, or same thing he has in mind, in James chapter 3 and verse 10, when he says, out of the same mouth proceedeth out of the same mouth poureth, we could say, both blessings and cursings. Isn't this true of all of us? Isn't it absolutely amazing how we can stand in an auditorium, sing praises unto the Lord, go out of here and say evil things about other people? Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing how we can come to church on Sunday and give a testimony how good God is and go to work on Monday and curse, not with foul language, but you know, like the Bible talks about cursing our boss. Isn't it amazing how with the same tongue, and if you're like me, have you not noticed how quickly our speech can turn? Again, all of that's an indicator of what's in us. And sometimes we can come to church, we look good, we sound good, we sing praises, we think we really accomplished something. And the next thing you know, we listen to what's pouring out of our mouth and we realize how much farther we have to go and what exactly is in us and just how much bad stuff is inside of us because it keeps pouring out. We need to listen to ourselves talk. Listen, young people, you need to listen what you say, what you're saying to other young people. And we as adults need to listen to what we say to people because words have power and words can certainly hurt. And what comes out of our mouth we need to listen to so we know where we are spiritually. Now, James is right, and that is that nobody can tame the tongue in the sense of correcting speech because the tongue is just a spout where the words come out. Amen? It's just a spout. It's all it is. And the Bible, that's the reason why the Bible so often connects the heart and the mouth. In Psalm 12, look there if you will. Bible constantly connects the heart and the mouth. Psalm 12. In verse 2. Psalm 12 and verse 2. Says they speak. We're just going to read these and go. Says they speak vanity one with his neighbor. With flattering lips. And a double what? Heart do they speak. Go from there if you will to Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16. Proverbs 16 and verse 23. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth. Teacheth his mouth. Proverbs 20, where am I? Verse 23. It says, the heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and adding learning to his lips. It is the heart that teaches our mouth how to speak. Controls what we say and controls what we have to say. Go from there, if you will, over to chapter 26, the same book, chapter 26. It says in verse 23, he says, burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. That's an important verse. I could have preached on that passage. You know what a potsherd covered in silver dross is? It's a clay pot that somebody poured silver over and made look expensive. And what he's saying is that when we look good outwardly, and we look very Christian outwardly, and we act very godly outwardly, but then the bad stuff's coming out of our mouth, we're like a potsherd covered in silver brass. We look good outwardly, but within, we're nothing but clay. Does that make sense to us? And so he connects again speech to our heart, and what's within us again is what comes out. It goes on in Proverbs 26. He says in verse 23, he says, burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered silver dross. And he that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations where? In his heart. And so the Bible constantly connects the heart and the speech. Go back over to Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15 and verse 4. It's not just the choice of words, that make speech wholesome. It's the heart that makes it wholesome. In Proverbs 15, look what it says in verse 4, and I'll explain what that means. Verse 4, he says, the wholesome tongue is the tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach of spirit. He talks about the wholesome tongue being a tree of life. You know, wholesome words are not words in themselves. It's that which comes from the heart. You know, if I come to Brother Chad and I say, Brother Chad, you're just really an amazing guy. I mean, you're just so godly and so good looking. Amen. Such a specimen of manliness. He's just amazing, isn't he? Now, if I were to say that, plus it'd be a little creepy, but if I were to say that, we're not that kind of church. So if I were to say that, and if I were doing it because I'm just pumping him up, I'm using the words, but there's no wholesomeness to it. But if I truly do believe he's a godly man, if I love him in the Lord, think he's a great guy, and it's coming forth from the heart, then that's wholesomeness. So it's not just a matter of the words that I use, but it also comes from the heart, not only for evil, but also for good. This is when we pump people up, you know, we don't mean it. The words only have value when they come forth from the heart. So everything we say comes forth from the heart, and it's either evil or it's wholesome, and it's the heart that makes it so. You with me so far? It's what's going on in our heart, what's going on in our thinking, what's going on in our mind when we use it. Now look over in Psalm 45. Psalm 45. David uses a different illustration in Psalm 45. Y'all still hanging on? All right, this is not deep. All right, Psalm 45. Simple, simple stuff. Psalm 45. Look, if you would, in verse 1. David uses a different illustration here. He says, "My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer." That's a pretty important verse. The word inditing means to stir up or to stir, to supply motivation. He says, "My heart is what stirs me. The words that come out of my mouth are the words that my heart has stirred within me." If you make me angry and the words come out, it's because my heart's been stirred to anger. You know, if I'm going to make fun of you because I think I'm better than you, then that's going to stir my heart. And that's the words that are going to come out. If I'm just mean-spirited, then that meanness stirs up my heart, and those are the words that come out. And so he says, it's my heart that stirs up my speech. But notice the last part of that verse is extremely important. He says, "But my tongue is like a pen, it's a ready writer." In other words, my tongue scribes, writes down, makes public for all to see what's within my heart. I might as well have written them down. Come on, if I've said them, I might as well write them down. And it makes it public. They become a matter of record. They become history. Because what's stirred in my heart, whether that's feelings of meanness or jealousy or compliment, whatever's in there has come out. And it says, "This is what I think. This is what I think of you." And it's stirred within me. This is where I am spiritually. It's all there when it comes out of our mouth. And it all is the result of the heart. This is what concerns me so much about speech. If you've been around for a while, you know one of my biggest pet peeves is gossip. I despise it with every ounce of my being because it does nothing but hurts people and hurts the cause of Christ for nothing. Absolutely nothing. And it stirs within us and creates these problems and issues for no good reason whatsoever. But it's what's within us. It's the heart of a gossip that produces gossip. It's the heart of a mean-spirited person that produces mean-spirited speech. You know, it's the heart of someone who doesn't care about others that produces hateful speech, that makes fun of how you look or how you're dressed or whether you're fat or skinny or tall or short or ugly or good-looking. That's the heart of meanness. Amen? It's the heart of meanness that says within me, "We're not talking to you today." And it's that which is within us that comes out of our tongue. And our tongue is nothing more than the scribe that makes it public. Amen? And so, just so us older folks don't get away, you know, it's what's within us that causes us to talk about the things that we do at dinner or in the car. It's what's within us. Or nowadays, the internet is our pen. What we say, again, comes forth from the heart. And so, it's all that stuff is in us. Now, back over in Matthew chapter 12 in our text, this is exactly what Jesus meant when he said what he did in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34. Take everything we've talked about and go back over to Matthew chapter 12 and think about what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. "O generations of vipers," you're not vipers, so skip over that part. "How can ye, being evil, speak good things?" Now notice what it says next. "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Jesus takes everything that Solomon talked about and was talked about in the Old Testament, those verses that we looked at, and drags it over to the New Testament and says, out of the abundance of the heart. He makes it even more descriptive, though. The word abundance means that which overflows. So what comes out of our mouth is the overflow of what's in our heart. If meanness comes out of our mouth, what's overflowing in our heart? Okay. If anger comes out of our mouth, what's overflowing in our heart? Anger. You know, if jealousy is there, it's jealousy that overflows. If we're good people who are walking with God and God is in all of our thoughts, what's going to flow out in our words? Christ is, isn't it? and the things of God. So it's the abundance. What comes out of our mouth is the overflow that comes out of our heart. Come on, Jesus said that, didn't he? We just don't say things. You know, people a lot of times will say things and then apologize and go, I didn't mean it, I just said it. And I understand that because we're sinners, that sometimes we may not necessarily mean the exact word that we used, but we responded the way we did because it overflowed out of our heart. What we really mean is, this is what I said was in me, it just got away from me. You tipped me over, and out it flowed. The abundance means that which fills the heart and overflows. Just as Solomon said in Proverbs, whatever the pitcher is full of is what's going to pour out. You don't get Dr. Pepper out of a pitcher of water. You don't get mean-spirited speech out of a pitcher full of godliness. You don't get that. Now notice what else he says. He says in Proverbs 12, verse 35, he says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. He talks about the treasury, and he says, an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. Here he likens under our heart to a treasury. You know what a treasury is? A treasury is a storehouse. It's a vault. It's a safe. And he says, we have certain things stored up in us. Now, what we should put in our vault is valuable things. Oh, come on, amen. You know, you don't buy a vault to put your junk jewelry in. You know, I don't buy a gun safe to put my BB gun in, all right? You buy a safe to put valuable stuff in. And he says our heart, what he's saying is we should treat our heart, Brother Nelson, like a treasury. And in it, we should only put good stuff. We should only put good thoughts toward others. We should only put kindness toward others. We should put the scriptures in there. We should put meditation upon the word of God in there. We should put godliness in there and holiness, Christ-likeness. Those are the things that we should store up in there. Because it's out of that treasury that comes forth our words. Now, I don't know how the Bible could be any plainer that it's what's within us that comes out. And this is what's always so concerning about gossip or speech, whether it's with a child or with an adult, because it manifests what's in our treasury. It manifests what's in us in abundance. And it comes out of us. Now, are any of us here tonight perfect? Come on, have you come to the point tonight that there are no evil words in you? If you've accomplished that, please see me after service so that I can figure out how in the world you managed to do that. We're still sinners by nature. The key is to make sure that they are not in there in abundance. That they are not the abundance of my heart. That my treasury is not full of them. How do I control that? By filling it with the Word of God and the things of God and right thoughts and so forth toward others. Whatever we store up is always what will pour out. Nothing can come out except that which we've stored up. And this is why some people can't say anything nice about somebody. Because they don't have anything stored up. It's why some people can't say anything positive. Because they don't have anything positive stored up. This is why, listen, if you're not saved tonight, this is why you get uncomfortable talking about the things of God. You ever notice somebody before they get saved, men are this way before they get saved? You can talk to them about hunting and fishing and shooting and driving big trucks and whatever else men do. You can talk about all those things, and they'll talk to you all day long, but as soon as you turn around to try to talk about the Lord, it's over. Right. And the reason why is there's nothing in the treasury. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nothing in there about the Lord. And so because of that, they're unable to talk about Him. And one of the reasons, again, why God's people sometimes get their language and speech away from them is because of what's in them. What's in here is going to pour out. So, where's my pitcher? If I put in my pitcher, if in my treasury, if in my heart, in abundance is what? Unkindness. Unkindness for you old people who can't see. Unkindness. If I have unkindness in my pitcher, what's going to pour out? Unkindness. It's deep stuff, isn't it? I got more. If I have anger in my treasury, I don't know who's going to pick this up. Who's got cleaning this week? If I've got anger in my treasury, in my heart, what's going to pour out? Oh, come on, when you tip me over. Now, is there any anger in you? Come on, or we're going to think there's liar in there. Sure, there's anger in us. There's anger in me. But I try to make sure it's not in there in abundance. Is there unkindness in me? Yes. There obviously isn't you. Is there any unkindness in me? From time to time. I won't tell you what I did to the poor bunny yesterday. Is there any unkindness in me? Sure there is, because I'm a sinner. But I try hard to make sure it's not there, what? In abundance. Because I can always tell, Brother Daniel, when it begins to come in abundance. Because all of a sudden I start hearing myself saying things. You with me? You want to know where your children are spiritually? How do they react? How do they respond? What's coming out of their mouth? I know to a degree kids pick on kids. Listen, I told you a minute ago, we are not liberal, progressive, utopitarians who think that, is that even a word? It is now, I just used it. We're not those who think we're going to create this environment. Listen, your kids are going to get hurt. This is life, it's the way it is. Is that an excuse for people just to thoughtlessly hurt them? No, absolutely not. But we can tell. Listen, we should listen to our children's speech. Are you hearing me? Are you listening to my speech? We should listen to our children's speech. How are they talking to other people? How do we hear them talking about other church kids? What do they say to you about other church kids on the way home? That's what's in their heart. And at those points, that's an instructive moment. And the same thing happened to us. You know what sometimes is in our heart? Thoughtlessness. You ever have any thoughtlessness in your heart? And well, listen, this pours out. What comes out in our marriages sometimes? Thoughtlessness. What comes in the way we interact with other people sometimes? Thoughtlessness. When I talk about, when I say I think you're fat or ugly or tall or I hate your dress or I hate your shoes or I think your outfit looks stupid, what is that? It's thoughtlessness that's poured out of my pitcher. That's come out of my heart. James says later on in the book of James, brethren, these things ought not be so. They ought not be so. Bullying. Now we're hearing a lot about this today. All right, a lot of bullying today isn't bullying out in the world. But no kid should ever gang up on other kids. Does it happen? Sure it does. Should it happen in the house of God? No. And the reason why they do that is because in our heart is the heart of a what? I'll try to keep them all in one spot. It's the heart of a bully. And of course, us adults, we never get together and talk about anybody else. So we probably shouldn't be surprised that kids do it. You're saying, you know, do we have bullying where kids are beating other kids up? No, don't be ridiculous. But you know that no kid should feel isolated. No two or three kids should ever laugh at another kid because they won't let them be involved. That shouldn't be so in the house of God. Amen?
Amen.
Because it may be fun to you, but it ain't fun to him. You know why? Because it's
hurtful.
If I have hurtful speech in me, what's going to pour out? Hurtfulness. It's hurtful to say, make fun of the way somebody looks. Especially since you can't do anything more. You can't do anything more about the way you look than you can who you were born, what family you were born into. It's hurtful to talk about how people look, to make fun of the way they dress, or the way, make fun of the way they walk, or they act, or the way they talk. It's hurtfulness. And you know why it comes out of us? Because we're sinners. And that's what's in us. And when we hear our children being hurtful, we ought to say, hey, that's going to be hurtful. That's hurtful to them, and it's going to be hurtful to you. Because that's hurtfulness. One more. If meanness is in there, what's going to come out? Meanness. We ought to be listening to see what kind of speech our children has. We ought to be listening to it and say, you know, listen, that's just mean. And I know you find it hard to believe that your children might actually say something mean to another child, but let me burst your bubble for you. All right? No kid is ever the perpetrator. They're always the victim. Say amen. Always. Now, maybe they are the victim, but it's been my experience that most kids don't go home and say, Dad, it was me. I made fun of how they looked. I called them ugly. I talked about how dumb their dress looked. Or I talked how ignorant their shoes looked. Most kids don't do that. When we ask them, did you do that? Wasn't none of me. I have nothing to do with any of that. It was all a big mistake. Sometimes kids are picked on. They are the victim. But we need to remember that we need to monitor our children. See what's pouring out of them. And you know what's more important? No, that's not what I want to say. It's important that they hurt somebody. But you know what is just as important? Is the fact that it came out of their heart.
Right.
What caused them to do that? What can we do as a parent to help correct that? What can we do as a church to help correct that? Because what's in us, again, is what pours out. And we may never be able to control our speech completely. But I do know this much. We'll never be able to control our speech till we clean up our treasury. You can never control your speech till you clean up the abundance of what's within you. Until good stuff becomes abundant in your heart. Until there's more treasure in there than junk. This is one of the problems too with television and modern entertainment. Is it glorifies this stuff. Hurtful speech and making fun of people and belittling people. And don't we have wonderful examples in our political leaders today?
Yeah.
Donald Trump can't open his mouth without insulting somebody. Hillary Clinton can't do anything without breaking the law. What great examples we have for our children. Isn't it something that we have a man running for president who if my children were young, I couldn't let them watch his speeches. Because in our house, you got a whooping for saying the stuff he says about people. Listen, if you called somebody dumb in our house, you got in trouble. If you called somebody stupid or called them little or small or insignificant or they didn't matter, you were in trouble.
That's right.
And one of the reasons why I have such a struggle with him as our candidate, supposedly conservative candidate, is what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart.
That's right.
And that's the big issue for me. But the same thing's true of our children. That's why speech is so vitally important. Proverbs 23, we're almost finished here. And then we can all have a meeting and pick up all our hurtful feelings. Got all my feelings on the floor. Just pouring myself out for you. That's the kind of man I am. All my sins just poured out on the floor. Proverbs 23. Let me give you this and we'll quit. You know, let me add this before I read Proverbs 23. Some church people will never be able to get their speech right because what they need to do is first get saved. You have no hope of controlling your speech till you get saved. The tongue is an unruly thing, and without the help of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, we will always say evil stuff. We will always be unkind. We need the Spirit of God to help us to control that. The same thing's true with young people. You know, it doesn't surprise me that you have young people sometimes who say mean things to each other if they're not yet saved. And I know that young people don't become 40 years old when they get saved. But I know this much, when young people who are saved say mean-spirited things to one another, the Spirit of God should convict them about that. They should have an understanding that this is wrong. And they should understand that when mom and dad says, this is wrong, do you understand why? Because that's not how we as God's people talk. It's not how we as God's people act. And the same thing's true of us as adults. You'll never understand. That's why so many gossips, I think, just need to get saved. Because I don't know how you can gossip about people without the Spirit of God convicting you about it. And so we'll never be right until we get saved and God helps us get the junk out of our storeroom and save people. Their speech will never be right until as long as our storehouse is full of darkness. This is why it's so important what we watch. The kind of entertainment we watch. Come on, say amen. The type of things we listen to and look at all affect our storehouse. And so we need to be right in those areas. Now, the heart will never be right also, though. The other thing that's connected to this, and we'll just give you this quickly and we'll be done, is the mind, our thoughts. That's why entertainment's important. It's what we think about. The Bible not only connects the mouth and the heart, but also connects the meditations of the heart. The word meditation simply means that which we think about, that which we ponder on. That which we fill our mind with. The point is that whatever I meditate on is what's going to pour out my spout. You ever say something? Well, I'm not sure I want to word that. You ever accidentally say something? You know, when I was working out in the world all the time, I had to be careful sometimes because there were words that I didn't want to use. That the next thing I know, if I wasn't careful, might pour out because not by choice, but because my mind is just filled with it all day long. You hear foul language after foul language after foul language, and our mind is like a sponge.
Yep.
and it's in there. And if we're not careful, if we don't fill our heart with godliness, it can come out because we hear it and we think on it. In Proverbs 23, look what it says in verse 7. It says, Proverbs 23, verse 7 says this. Whoops, I'm in Psalms. Proverbs 23. Now it's ruined because you got there before I did. Proverbs 23, the surprise is over. Proverbs 23, verse 7, it says this, for he as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat, drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What we think about, that's what we are. You know, and this can apply to us in all kinds of ways. You know, if you dwell on sin long enough, then that's what we are. Thoughts become reality in our life. You've probably never done this. That person's out to get me. They don't like me. They don't like me. Brother Chad doesn't like me. I know he doesn't. Now, he may have never done anything or told me he doesn't like me. You do like me. Okay, good. But see, what I can do is if I think, you know, Chad doesn't like me because he looked at me this way or said this, after a while, you know what happens? Perception becomes what? Yeah. I think about the fact he doesn't like me. I lay in my bed at night worrying about the fact he doesn't like me. Next thing I know, he goes, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. I like you. It won't help because I've already convinced myself in my mind that he doesn't. The way we think, what we think so affects us, isn't it? Doesn't it? What we fill our heart with and our mind with, and our mind affects our speech as well. It's the reason it's so important that we protect the minds of our children. Let me help you out, parents. It's so important that they don't hear us doing the very same thing we're talking about. It's very important that they don't hear us making fun of other adults at the church or the way they looked or what they did or what they wore. Now, listen, we're Baptists, which means we have to tease and have fun. It's what we do. Amen? Just remember, as we teach our kids and as they taught us in school when we were kids years ago, and that is, if the other guy ain't laughing, it ain't funny. And so we understand that we can have a good sense of humor about things, and we can kind of pick on each other in fun as long as we all understand that it's fun. We understand that we can do those things. But our kids need to understand, they need to know that when the other person isn't there, it's probably not funny. They need to make sure that they don't hear us talking about how someone looked or what somebody's dress looked like, or they've done this or they did that, or look at them or what's wrong with them. They need to listen. Their minds don't need to hear that. No, did you hear what I said? Their minds don't need to absorb our garbage. They don't need to absorb our ill will toward somebody. They don't need to hear that. You know, we always tried to make it so when our kids were growing up. And listen, when you're a pastor's kid, it's even harder. And we always tried to make it so that our kids always thought that the people in our church were the greatest people on earth. Were they always the greatest people on earth? No. But we wanted them to think so. You say, well, they'll never grow up with the reality of life. Oh, believe me, the reality of life will catch up with you eventually. But why would I want to put that stuff in my child's head? I want them to think well of others, especially church people. And I don't want that to influence their speech. And this, don't read into this. I'm just making a statement. Sometimes the stuff that comes out of our children's mouth is because of what they've absorbed from us, or the spirit of which they've absorbed from us, because they hear us doing it. And so we have to be careful of those things. We want to make sure their mind is filled with good things. Amen. And with good thoughts. Last verse, Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. Everybody still with me? Almost done. We still good?
Amen.
Okay. Proverbs 4. This is not an angry message. You would know the difference. Proverbs 4. Look what it says in verse 23. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word issues means direction. Out of it comes our direction. The direction of our thought, our speech, our actions, our heart and mind directs that. That's the reason why we so want to protect the mind. Our mind, our children's mind, we want to protect that so that they think right and think right of others. Listen, be so careful, and I'm finished. Be so careful of how we talk about other people in front of your children. If there's some issue going on where you have to talk about somebody, move your kids into another room. Put them somewhere. Don't let them overhear you talking about someone else. Don't let them overhear you making fun of somebody else. Even if you're teasing, believe me, when they're smaller, they don't always get that. And children sometimes take that as license to do the same. And when they hear you talk about someone else, it brings their level of respect for that person down a notch. So be careful of how you talk about other people, whether it's church people or family or people at work. Be careful, because it fills their mind with it and it gives them the impression that that type of thing is okay. And it's not okay. It floods their mind. I don't want their minds filled with my garbage. Amen? Secondly, we need to listen to our children's speech. What's coming out of their mouth? What kind of things are they saying? How are they talking to their brothers and sisters? Now, do brothers and sisters always love each other, get up every morning and embrace one another, you know, and start the day telling each other how happy they are that you're my brother? That's how it is in the Piper house, I'm sure, every day. Just want to thank you for being my brother. No, listen, this is reality. Okay. But it is true, is it not, that to some degree we see their heart and how they respond to one another's brothers and sisters. We need to listen to that. Brother and sister stuff happens. But you can tell the difference when it starts getting mean. So we need to watch that. And when we hear them saying something about other kids at church, we need to say, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know where that's coming from. Well, I do. It's coming from your heart. Amen? We need to monitor that. We need to monitor our heart, our speech, so that they learn from us. This is how you deal with people. Lastly, and I don't have time to get into this, but lastly, they also need to learn from us how to respond to that. You're going to get hurt. I wish it wasn't so, and I wish it would never happen in Calvary Baptist Church, but you're going to get hurt. And you know where they learn how to deal with that? From how we deal with it. From how we deal with it. They need to see that in us as well. Listen tonight, this is not about any one person. Our church is not falling apart. Our children's program is not a disaster. All right, the kids in this church are not rotten. They're just like their parents. And sometimes they're just kids, but that's why God gave them parents. To reel in the kid from time to time. And listen, young people, we ought not be talking badly about other people in junior church. Don't make fun of other kids. Don't make fun of how they look, how they talk, how they walk. Don't gang up on another one. Don't isolate somebody. Don't let them be your friend. We're not going to let this one be my friend this week. It's just mean. It's just hurtful. You don't like it when people do it to you, so don't do it to them. Because it's not what Christ would have us do. And it's not the way it ought to be in church. Now, can we stop everything? No. But we can look around and say, what's the abundance here? What's going on? This shouldn't be the way it is. And when you hear your kids doing it, and if somebody comes to you and says, listen, your child said this, then say, hey, you know, I need to take care of that. Amen? And if you have a problem, come to me and say, hey, preacher, this happened. We'll see if we can't take care of it. But let's focus. I think what would help most if each of us focused on our own family and said, listen, this is not going to be acceptable. This is going to be acceptable. Listen to ourselves. Mom and dad, listen to our kids. And let's establish this is what godly speech sounds like. Amen? And let's keep it godly and normal. Let's fill our minds with the good stuff, not with that which is evil. Why don't you stand with me if you would.